your first year where you guys were producing a lot of beer available for public was 2006, right?
That was the first year that February 06
was Winterfest.
When we brought beer to that, and we had 8-day-old Furious there and 2-week-old Bender.
Okay.
And that month was when we sold our first keg of Bender, and then later in the month was our first keg of Furious sale.
Okay. I was interested if you could tell me the approximate like barrel production, how that's gone from 06-07.
It's pretty much...
If you know...
Well, yeah, we just, we report all those numbers as accurately as we can to the Brewers Association every year because they publish it. The New Brewer, there's an industry kind of production review that comes out every year, and it's I think it's important to do it honestly and do it consistently just for trends in the industry, not to toot our own horn or anything. But so this year, first year we did 850 barrels, so that was basically a 10-month year that we had. The second year we did 2,000, and then pretty much every year we've doubled. So last year, 2008, we did about 4,000. And then this year...
That was the year that you went over the 3,500.
Yeah.
The state law for on sale.
Yeah, so we went over, we were at like 4,000 to 4,500, and then 2009 we finished at about 9,500 barrels. Yeah,
that's great.
Kind of crazy.
Does that at all align with either what you or Omar expected or hoped for?
No, it's not anything what we thought would happen.
Above?
Yeah, way above.
Way above?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you saw the brewery when we did our first...
Yeah, I was here for
the open house. We thought that was going to be our space for years, and
kind of a good and a bad thing, is it? Like trying to have this potential, this tremendous potential, even nationally. You're thinking of the stars, but really you can't just get there.
Right.
And some brewers maybe don't want to get there.
Yeah, I think me and Omar temper each other that way, where he wants to grow so he can get over that hump where he can pay the bills and have everybody make a little money. It is a business, obviously. I've been doing this for almost 20 years, and it's nice when I left Rock Bottom, I took a pay cut to work here, and I wanted to do something new, and it's nice to be back, as a profession, be back to, developing that side of it. But I don't think... either of us wanted to grow so fast that we couldn't handle it and the quality would suffer. And that's kind of where Jared and Cal now, and Sarah in the packaging department, and now Ben, kind of come into play. Without those guys, I can't brew, 8 times a week. It's just not going to happen. So
That
to me is the bigger part of the growth, is other than how many tanks do you have, it's the staff and how they execute and how they can make the beer as good as you would make it. So they probably get sick of me micromanaging them, but unfortunately that seems like it's part of the deal, or it's in any business somewhat. So we grew a lot faster than we ever thought we would. But I think we've done it as smart and as safe as we can. And I think, now to continue to grow double every year, is, I don't think we'll be able to do that again. I mean, it's just that to go from 10,000 barrels to 20,
yeah.
I mean, that'd be an incredible amount of... So, like I told...
Jared's like, come on.
Well, like I told Don...
You're going to kill me.
No, I just pictured the amount of construction that occurred in the year for that to happen.
So now, like I told you earlier, we're in the phase of projects that don't necessarily equal barrelage. So we're talking a malt silo, we're talking a grain out system, so these guys don't have to schlep 35 gallons of grain out buckets. It would be a pump that pumps it outside. So similar to what Summit has.
Grain out. Yeah, I was thinking the grain.
That's slated to happen this year too, in. So a silo might not happen this year, but the new mill and the conveyance system... we'll get away from having the mill where it is now, which is not in the best spot for keeping stuff clean. So these all equal less labor. So we should be able to brew more with our current staff, because there, you know, there'll be some time savings and some labor savings for sure. We'll be able to make more beer with our current staff, but the projects don't necessarily equal, you know, like a tank. You can say, oh, we can yield blah, blah, blah barrels out of that. That equals so much revenue. We're into these projects now, which we can be, because we're cranking out 10,000 barrels a year. We can get into these projects and not worry about, you know, being able to pay them off and do that. So this is the next phase, and this is kind of the phase that's kind of scary, because you're, you know, talking about a bunch of money for infrastructure. And then once we get these in place, then we'll fill that area with tanks, and then it'll be like, oh, it went from, it might take us 2 years to get to 20,000, but yeah. I would think this year we do at least 15. Okay. So
now you've got tanks over on the wall. Those are fermentation tanks,
yep.
Right?
Four new tanks over there, a new 120-barrel bright tank that we use for aging lagers, darkness, okay. Smoke. We use a 120 now for packaging Furious every week for a bright tank.
Okay.
That just really expedites, you know, we've got one transfer process instead of two, and less chemicals, less time cleaning tanks and stuff like that. So we just blend two double brews of Furious into one tank, and we're able to package that in a day. So
okay. Besides, you mentioned wanting to do something new. I was interested about you, you know, what interested you in signing up with Omar and getting into Surly and
his good looks, mainly. He's hot.
That's obvious. I
mean, he
from a brewer's
perspective, he needed help. I thought I was the right guy to do it. And
That's the Rock beer.
Hail your surprise. Beer. Yeah, try that.
First?
Yeah. Sure. Well, I think you'll like it. I think just, you know, getting to know Omar, we grew up together, but we weren't friends. So I kind of knew him, but I didn't, and trusted him. You know, I knew he was legit. He wasn't some guy that just, you know, showed up in town and was like, oh, I'm going to open a brewery. You know, actually, he grew up in my neighborhood, and we kind of had some history, so I kind of knew he wasn't full of shit. So, and it quickly became apparent that I was ready to leave Rock Bottom and probably should have left a couple years before I did.
Okay.
But, you know, in hindsight, I'm glad I didn't, because I don't think this opportunity would have, you know, if I wouldn't be here, somebody else would be, and Omar, I mean, the whole thing would go in a different direction, but it still would have happened. It just would have gone differently.
Freedom? Or more creative freedom, was that much of an interest?
No,
or
was it
pretty much whatever you wanted to do at Rock Bottom?
Yeah, it was pretty much whatever I wanted to do
for
at Rock
seasons.
Bottom. And I think that, you know, that was an opportunity for me to woodshed and basically get paid to create like I did, you know, when I was homebrewing, was come up with all sorts of different stuff. And
it's kind of another one of my questions is about, I guess, about Furious for one is, and Bender, those were your first two public offerings, those are kind of your flagship beers.
Mm-hmm.
How did you, especially with Furious, curious, how did the recipe develop or originate? Did you kind of just have an idea and run it and it just worked, or was this something you had tried on different scales?
Well, it started with... The tinkering started with some of one of the, what's become kind of our favorite malt is Simpson's Golden Promise. When I had was brewing IPAs at Rock Bottom, they're seasonals that we'd make a couple times a year, maybe three or four of them a year. And that's kind of when Omar started hanging around, and he started trying to recreate some of the beers I was making at Rock Bottom, trying to clone them at home. And,
oh, really?
I didn't know that. Yeah, that's kind of funny. I saw his notes once for it, and his homebrew book. And
it's really cool.
So, you know, part of it too is like I'm a big fan of beers with body and malt character, and I'm not a big fan of the over attenuated West Coast style IPAs. They're just too thin for me and boozy and hot, and that coupled with high levels of bitterness gets a little harsh to me. So that was kind of the theory, is working with that malt and you know, pushing that upper threshold of IBUs to kind of see how much, without it being a double IPA. How hoppy can you make a beer and still make it balanced? A lot of people wouldn't say Furious is balanced. I think it is pretty for a 90 to 100 IBU beer.
Ones that you're talking about, yeah. It is.
So it started there, and it's definitely different now. It's different yeast. Some other different malts in there. The base malt's different. But that's kind of where it started. That's where the seed kind of, just like, you know, homebrew, and you work on a recipe for years. It's not like it's like a light bulb goes off and you nail it.
Yeah, so, I was curious if you had done a lot of tinkering either at a homebrew level or done some of those trials at Rock Bottom or just even here.
It started...
First, like, number of batches you were just modifying.
Yeah, it started with, you know, some raw material knowledge from Rock Bottom and then kind of morphed into what we wanted to do color-wise, alcohol, IBU, hop profile-wise. And then we just, you know, the only thing we've really changed with that beer since we've opened, is the, we started dry hopping it instead of doing all the finish hops in the whirlpool. So that's the biggest change we've made. And I think it's a huge one, but I think it's better. It's a better beer, dry hopped.
With Surly not making a ton of, or I should say the majority of types of beers that are just more of the main line, even for craft beers, just your, you know, a stout, a straight stout, a pale ale, just that kind of thing. Are you guys trying, as a brewery, are you trying to communicate something or is that's obviously intentional. It's not like you don't make any of those.
Right.
You make the mild and the Helles and some things like that. But is it part of the whole purpose, or I don't know what the right word is, intention, you know, behind the brewery?
Yeah, intentions is
different.
It's an excellent word for it. I think that's kind of Omar's nature. He's pretty passive aggressive, and it's always been like, let's make what the hell we want to make, not what we're supposed to make, not what we think the market will like, not because, you got to make a pale ale, everybody makes a pale ale. I mean, I'm still amazed that new breweries pop up, and what's their first beer? A fucking pale ale. I'm serious, like, really? Isn't there enough of those already? I mean, people don't even know which one to choose because there's 12 of them at the store now. It's like, make something different. They'll probably buy that before I mean, I don't know. There's some good pale ales out there.
Yeah.
But do something different, you know. At least Furthermore, this is one example of at least they're doing something different.
Nonstop?
All of their beers. At least they're like, wow, I've never even heard of doing that, or I've never had those flavors combined, and that gets people's attention. So so that's the main thing. But once we got over that hump where it's like, okay, we need to dial in the original beers, let's have fun, and let's brew stuff continue to brew stuff we like, and that includes low-gravity beers, bitters, milds, all that shit. You know, we're just doing what we want to do, you know? I mean, originally it's like we were very aware of, hey, let's not brew anything that Summit's done. Everything Summit's has done, we're not going to do it. But now, you know, we're over that, and we just want to do what we want to do, so.
And when you're doing what you want to do, you guys either, especially back in 2006, it may be different back then to now, but is there much of a concern of, are people going to drink this? Are people going to want to pay money for this?
There was, for sure. I mean, with Furious, Bender to a certain extent, but certainly with Darkness and some of the specialties, was, you know, are people going to get it? Or, you know, that's one reason we went to Chicago, was we were worried that, shit, as we grow, we might reach that critical mass where people, we've got it to the people that get it, and nobody else is getting it, and Chicago was kind of a safety valve.
Nobody else close.
But that's certainly in 09, that proved to not be true, because our sales in Minnesota, our home market, have just gone crazy. Yeah. So
you and, it's different, but a brewery like Summit, even, vast majority of their sales is in Minnesota, which kind of surprised me, because they make a ton of beer.
Yeah, they do.
A ton of beer. There's breweries that make way less beer that are in every state.
Yeah.
And you guys could almost, I mean, you're kind of trending that way. It's,
we certainly never thought that would happen. We thought we were going to be, unfortunately, we didn't want to necessarily, we call it the dogfish model, where send the beer wherever you can sell it. You know, every big major city. And we didn't think we'd want to do that, and we've kind of realized that it's not only is it the worst thing we could do for our beer, sending it a long ways away from us, mm-hmm. Without an infrastructure for lab or salespeople or people in the market to make sure it's fresh. But it also, it's kind of, you get hometown, you get home state pride rolling, and that's a pretty big thing.
It's developed quite a...
Yeah, I mean, New Glarus is a great example. Summit's a great example.
Mm-hmm. I mentioned darkness. Let's talk about that for a couple minutes.
Where did that recipe
come from?
Have you made...
You know, that's...
It's black.
It's blacker than the blackest black times infinity.
Have you made some Imperial Stouts at all at
Rock Hall? Yeah, I think a couple. One or two.
Okay.
I made a small beer with the runnings on one of them, second runnings. But, you know, this was, again, a style that me and Omar felt was popular in the new...
Yeah.
I'll use that new American craft beer movement.
Yeah.
And nobody was making it in town unless you went to Rock Bottom, Fickers, or Town Hall. So we made 12 barrels of it that first year. Omar paced around the brewery wondering how he's ever going to sell 24 kegs of Imperial Stout in this market. And then 8 months later, we're trying to figure out how we can ever make enough of it. So... That first winter when it was out, it was around on draft for 5-6 months. People didn't know about it. And at late that winter, it was early winter of 07, is when the internet community kind of started talking about it and slowly gradually built a buzz. And, you know, unfortunately, we never tried to control it like, oh, it's make it scarce so people want it. It was never part of our plan. We were just... Okay. Couldn't make it. We didn't have a way to sell it. You know, growlers were the only way. And then we started hand bottling it. I don't think people realize that we don't bottle beer, and it's pretty labor intensive to hand bottle it. And not only is it risky, you got, you know, all it takes is one person to forget to pre-purge the bottle, and all of a sudden you got oxidized
control.
Sure. Crappy beer. So.
So to get to the first time you made darkness here, did you just? Have a pretty good idea. I mean, did you make, when you made the batch, you didn't make a test batch, a small batch?
That one
batch.
I didn't. Nope.
You just created a recipe. Do you use software?
I do. I use ProMash just for color and, you know, rough stuff. Yeah. And then, you know, as I've used it more and kind of tweaked it to our brewing system, we can get pretty accurate yields and IBU. The biggest thing with that is differences IBUs, I think. Late hop additions and either mash hopping or first word stuff. No, just with the lab work we've had come back. They don't account for any bitterness for any post boil like Whirlpool additions, and we apparently pick up a fair amount of IBUs just because it's a combination kettle Whirlpool. Temp's pretty hot, and yeah, it's not boiling, but it's coming from somewhere. IBUs are, you know, I don't think the lab would. Screw that up.
Have you modified the recipe that much from year to year? I know it's a little bit more. It's maybe. I think I've been drinking it 3 years. I don't know if I've had it 4 years, but
darkness.
It's somewhat different this year.
Yeah, it's changed. That's such a big beer. It starts at like 30 Plato. Our yeast doesn't really know what the hell to do with it. You know, we just kind of do what we can to make sure the yeast is in good shape. But you know, last year. 08, it didn't attenuate as much as the first year. We used a different sugar and different hops because we didn't like the first and second year's hops. And, you know, it was really sweet. I don't know. Beers are always going to be different, you know, especially when you get a once or twice a year chance to brew it. You know, it's just everything's different. If we were able to brew it consistently every month, you know, raw materials are different. You just don't know what to expect exactly. So last year, we kind of knew we were a little more prepared, so we made some changes just to try to get it to attenuate a little more so it wasn't so sweet. I think we did that, and that's the only thing we really changed. We didn't...
you didn't really add that more
hops? The hops were the same variety and same amount. I just think they were buried by how sweet it was last year, honestly.
Interesting.
And we weren't able to brew it as early this year, so... The hop aroma is going to be a little bit fresher. Okay. So I would think right now it's probably, you know, the hops are fading right now. So, which I like the hops. That's what I like about it.
The hops?
Yeah.
Okay. So you drink your Sierra Nevada Bigfoot barley wine right when it comes out.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I like to I save. I drink some, but yeah. I like to save it too.
Yeah, and that's kind of been the ongoing debate with that beer too. Is like, wow, do we continue to put in that many hops if people are going to age it? Because if they're aging it, that means they don't want that hop aroma. Okay, so maybe we pull them out.
Save
but
money,
no, I think there's a lot of people that like it fresh and like that hop aroma. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think I like it both ways, but I'll drink it on tap a number of times when it's on tap, and then the bottles I buy, I might save those.
Yeah.
It sounds like you had no idea that it would turn into this phenomenon. Got thousands of people lining up. You have people camping overnight. Do you enjoy that sort of devotion?
I think everybody appreciates, you know, the pat on the back part of it, but you know, with that comes, I think, a certain amount of pressure, you know, that, like, everybody's waiting to see us do better, do worse, you know. It's kind of like a playoff team, you know. Everybody wants them to win, but it's, you know, you can only expect so much out of any team or anything. So that part gets a little weird, you know. The people that show up because so-and-so told them about it and they've never even had our beer, that's a little weird, I think. But the people that, you know, support us, that's huge. That's awesome. I mean, they're some of the greatest people, and they like good beer. They don't just love us. They like all good beer. And they support a lot of small breweries in this country. So that's what people forget, you know, just because people might hear about us more doesn't mean they're not supporting Flat Earth, you know, or any other local breweries. It seems like this community supports pretty equally across the board, even though we get criticized for getting all the press or, you know, being the hype, you know, the hyped up popular brewery or whatever you want to call it. So,
and what you're saying, a lot of times the hype is... A brewery may or may not try to create some kind of hype around certain products, but I don't think you guys have done that.
I don't think you can honestly do it. I think it's pretty transparent if you try, because I don't think that works. I've noticed breweries trying to do that in the last 12 months, and it's pretty apparent, you know. Other than us being small, I mean, I still think the people that aren't from this area actually think if they think we tried to create this hype on purpose. I mean, really, what brewery would subject themselves to that? You know, 500 bottles is what we hand bottled the second year of Darkness. Why wouldn't you make more money and make a bunch more if you're trying to, you know? It just doesn't make business sense, or well, it certainly isn't fun, you know. It's kind of so I don't see how you could do it on purpose without having it be kind of
be detected that it's not genuine or not coming from the people.
Right, exactly. Yep.
Let's talk a little bit more about your, I don't know what a nice word is, but more mainstream beers that you guys have made, especially your kind of either seasonals or you've made Hell a couple times. Yep. You've done a Mild a couple times, I think, too. Is it at all an intention when you're making those to sort of throw a bone to any beer drinkers that really don't appreciate the more aggressive ones, but that they like, hey, you know, like I'm the can, it says this is a beer that my grandmother can like or whatever.
Right.
I mean, that's true, and it's a great beer that has a ton of flavor,
right.
But it's anybody that likes beer at all. You know, be it they like the worst, you know, the crappiest beer, the strongest beer, they can drink that beer and they can like it. But I mean, is that are you making it for that reason, or is it just something like, you know what, we like these kinds of beers too?
Well, I think it. I don't think it was to throw anybody a bone. If anything, I think Omar and I have always tried to keep people guessing.
Okay.
And what bugs us a little bit is to hear, oh, that's not what I expected from Surly. You know, somehow along the lines, people got this idea that all we do is, like, extreme beers. When, you know, Bender is a really flavorful American brown ale.
Mm-hmm.
And Furious is, you know, a big American amberish IPA. But it's hardly extreme, you know, compared to what some other breweries are doing.
But you guys don't have, like you said earlier, the pale ale.
That's true.
Stout.
But, so...
The Bender is... I don't know why people couldn't drink that.
Yeah. So, for us, it's more like, let's brew what we want. You know, German's mom... Omar's mom is from Germany, and, you know, she's from Bremen, so she grew up, you know, Beck's Brewery all around her, and it's we wanted to do something that had some traditional style to it, if you will. So, and that just seemed like a good one to do.
Is it to at all from a brewer's perspective, just to be able to try something different that maybe I've done? It's like, I want to see if I can make a really good mild, and is it sort of a challenge? And
definitely.
You know, interesting from the... Because the homebrewers, I mean, how many homebrewers make the same recipe?
Right.
You know, I mean, there's a few that really do like to make similar type things, but I mean, I think most people just like to just do different stuff every batch.
Right. I think that's, you know, with some of the draft-only yearly seasonals, we tweaked the recipes. This year's mild is different than it ever has been. I think it's the better version. Bitter Brewer's pretty much dialed in now. We like where that's at. I think Hell, last year's version, is pretty close to where we're going to have it again this year. It's not only a challenge, but it's fun for the brewers to be involved in brewing something different. That's how they learn. I mean, that's one reason I left Summit. Was that, you know, I was brewing Summit Extra Pale Ale pretty much every day and not really kind of creating like I used to. So I want to make sure that everybody here has a chance to at least be involved in the making of some new beers.
I hadn't thought about that. So you're even looking at it from the point of you're the head brewer, but also the, I don't know if you call them assistant brewers or whatever they are, but just to kind of give them a chance to do different things.
Yeah, and I mean, we're certainly not, there's, you know, the recipes are still dictated by me so far, since both these guys are relatively new to that. You know, I don't think they'd feel real confident with it either if we're putting it all out on the line.
Okay.
But they still are learning from it. They learn what the different raw materials are doing. They learn about how, you know, different water chemistry and all that stuff is going to come through in different beers. And you know, that's the trickiest thing with Hell is, the water here's got so much flavor that it's really the lightest beer we can, and even then the water still comes through.
So you're saying it has more mineral content here?
It's just, yeah, it's hard. It's
as opposed pretty, to Munich, what?
It's on the softer side.
I know, like Pilsen is, but okay.
Yeah, it's certainly not real delicate. So it kind
of. Do you guys bonify the water very much?
Not really. A little bit. Some tricks
here and there.
It's all secrets. Those are the secrets.
Oh, that's, yeah.
That's fine.
Oh, this is something I'm personally interested in. Use of the souring types of bugs, mm-hmm. Brett, Tenmices. I mean, it's may or may not be related to wood mm-hmm. also. But, you know, you've done a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I've actually been able to get to them.
No,
they're at the festivals or whatever they are. It's hard, you know, when at 2:30, be the first 20 people here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's out of your control. I get it, but it's like I cannot stand in line. And
I understand.
You know, I have, but you know, when
so two
like,
of those, I've only done like 15 gallons total of like experimental. We had actually used a sour blend, so Brett.
Where did you get the,
White Labs, yeah.
Okay, like the Lambic blend?
Yeah, Sour Blend 2, I think they call it.
Okay, I might not know what that one is.
Yeah, so it's Brett Lambicus, I think, and Lacto and PDO.
Okay.
And, you know, we did it far away on the other side of the brewery in...
Oh, you did? Okay, I was going to ask about that, too.
In Carboys and...
Okay.
So I think we're bringing the last
armed guards.
5 gallons of that to Winterfest.
Okay.
So if you're there, make sure you.
Yeah, I didn't get a ticket.
My own beer.
Wow.
I think Krenner's got some still.
Who?
Jeff Krenner on the Beer Spot.
I don't know him.
Go to beerspot.com. You'd recognize him.
Okay.
He's a big, huge beer guy. He's a nice guy.
The big.
He's at Town Hall a lot. He's here a lot. Jeff Krenner. I saw it on Beer Spot. BeerSpot.com.
Okay. So who is sort of driving the experimentation
I think both me and Omar would love to make more lagers, more time-consuming beers, let's put it that way.
Okay.
We already make time-consuming ales, which for this industry, you know, Furious isn't packaged till like day 25 or something, which is pretty long for most ale producers. Bender's like day 17. So it's we don't crank anything out in 10 days or 12 days. So already our turnover on our fermenters is slow. So we're trying to figure out how we can safely and keep it at the right temperature in a remote part of the brewery, do some long-term aging of a sour beer. So we haven't quite figured that out. We want to, but we don't want it to prohibit what we're already doing. We never built the brewery or intended to have that be a big deal for us, but I'm thinking our next anniversary beer will have some character, probably maybe just Brett, but that's not...
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Four is probably already...
Four is
done,
packaged,
huh?
Here. Not quite done, but almost.
Okay. I don't think I know anything about Four. Anybody know anything about
Four
or not?
A little bit, yeah. It's a double espresso milk stout. And then we freeze concentrated it.
It's a ice beer?
Ice imperial milk stout. Espresso. No.
So coffee.
But we can't call it ice. The TTB won't let us.
Oh, okay. So coffee, do they have to know that it's iced?
As far as they're concerned, it's not iced.
It's a strong, high percentage alcohol.
No, it's just higher than it was because of it's been frozen.
We had the heat go out.
Exactly. The glycol froze on us. What happened?
Milk, so lactose, you're dumping in a bunch of lactose?
It's a milk stout, double milk stout, and then we brewed it with espresso beans, and then it'll be finished with espresso beans also.
That sounds good. Did three go in bottles?
Nope, this year.
But
this
two
will be
did.
The first year that, yeah, those hand bottles, because we could sell them here.
Oh, okay.
So this year we're going to do, we'll do smoking bottles, four, we're just waiting on the bottles, four will be in bottles, and we'll see what else.
And it'll be at liquor stores, like the day before your accounts. Certain accounts will get a case, a couple cases or whatever.
Yep, we're gonna bottle.
Go find it.
Bottle like almost 5,000 bottles, so
holy crap.
A fair amount of it, but not enough. But with the anniversary beers, we really only make like 60 barrels, so I don't think we'll ever make
how many bottle. I mean. We'll keg some of it.
We'll do 30 barrels in kegs. That's 60 half barrels.
Okay.
And then 30 barrels in bottles. So that's about 4,900 750s.
Oh, it is. So one 30-barrel batch is like that
yep.
many.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah. Should be good.
Yeah.
Tasting pretty good.
Put some in some wood somewhere.
You know, I haven't. And,
I suppose you can always do that.
Yeah.
Whenever.
You know, we've done a lot of wood stuff, and as much as I like it, Everybody seems to be sick of it, or seems to be thinking that it's an easy thing to do that people do just to put it on a little beer label and sell it.
Who's everybody? Like in a brewery, you mean?
Oh, on the interweb.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's just interesting to kind of follow conversations, or like everybody's doing that now.
I think it's fun if it's a version of an otherwise non-wood beer, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. As a beer drinker, I think it's fun to be like, oh, then what is the
right
gauge tastes like.
Right.
But I can understand. It is more common now.
Yeah, and I'm not a huge fan of aged coffee beers, so I kind of want this one going out
gotcha.
Fresh.